for non-members. Great range, good people under new management. Oh, and guess what? The C4 training group ACHP class, the Alaska Concealed Handgun Permit class, is sold out for August. That's right. Last two slots sold out last night at about 1940 hours.
But please, please email Chuck if anyone's interested, and we can put you on a wait list because, like our last one, we had two cancellations.
Well, they don't cancel. We bump them to the next class.
Yeah,
so some of these people were bumped to the August class. Yes, exactly. No, that's a good point, Sen.
You're welcome.
Good. Class is held over to Alaska Ammo, so that's cool. C4 Training Group will be offering their carbine for home defense class July 25th and 26th. On July 25th, the defensive carbine level 1 course will cover basic operation, maintenance, employment, and malfunction clearance drills and strategies for home defense with the most in common use rifle in our nation. On July 26th, the class will go beyond the basics, cover tactics and drills that will help keep you and your family alive, allowing you to be an asset and not a liability. Go to c4traininggroup.com for more information and sign up for both days of great training. And you know what I realized? July 25th is the Golden Days Parade.
Yep.
Who booked it? I guess I need to monitor.
I think our training team needs to pay better attention to like what holidays or what events are kind of going on.
This is what happens when you have a bunch of retired people running this. We just forget holidays. You know, we don't care anymore.
Right. Like, I don't know like if it's a state holiday or a federal holiday.
I don't get excited about a 4-day. It's all my days are 4 days.
I have a 7-day weekend.
Point. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah.
7-day weekend. Yeah. Like, why do I care?
All what? I'm excited about are the sourdough pancakes on Saturday.
What?
Yeah, right over here at Sadler's. They have the big sourdough for Golden Days.
No, you're supposed to say, come out to the
firearms
training.
Cindy,
you just told everybody to go to the pancake place instead of firearms training.
Well, then you get 7 o'clock in the morning, you get your pancake, and then you head to the range.
And full of carbohydrates, and you come out there and you fall asleep.
Yep.
Well, I don't fall asleep. You may, but I don't.
You could drink like 4 cups of coffee and then go right to sleep. Like, you're amazing. I don't know how you pull that off. But then again, I can drink a Monster and go to take a nap. So who knows? I don't know. Maybe we're just, that's why we're retired.
I have no clue. Maybe caffeine's overrated.
I think so.
It's a placebo.
Yeah, it definitely is a placebo effect for us. Man, it is great having you back in the studio, though. It's much more lively with you around, Cindy, than just sitting here staring at Matt's ugly mug.
Yeah, I was telling Chuck earlier, I was like,
he did get a haircut, though.
I was like, this feels like when John Cena returned back to WWE. Like, out of nowhere, you hear the glass shatter, the music start, and then Cindy comes through the door, ready to dominate. Like
you definitely don't
like
want to hear me.
Not like the Kool-Aid man, though.
Yeah, no, not, oh, yeah, right through a wall.
You'll pay me not to sing.
Fair enough. All right, hey, so check this out. Let's do this week's in firearm history because we'll do that before we have to go into the break.
Yes.
This is pretty interesting. So this week we mark two related milestones in Americans' firearm history that helped shape the repeating handgun as we know it. First, on July 19th, 1814, Samuel Colt was born in Hartford, Connecticut. Though that date falls just a few days outside the current week, it is important to ignore. Colt's 1836 patent for practical revolving cylinder revolver fundamentally changed personal firearms. For the first time, a man could fire multiple shots without reloading after each one. That idea, simple in concept but revolutionary in execution, gave rise to the Colt Patterson, the 1851 Navy, the 1860 Army, and eventually the legendary 1873 Single Action Army, better known as the Peacemaker. Colt did more than invent a better gun. He pioneered mass production with interchangeable parts, turning firearms manufacturing into a true industrial process. I think he was like the Henry Ford of firearms.
That's a good way to look at it.
Yeah.
That's a great way.
Yeah. That industrial approach made reliable repeating handguns available to soldiers, lawmen, settlers, and ordinary citizens alike. Then, on July 25th, 1871, another important step occurred. Charles B. Richards received U.S. patent number 1017-461 for a practical method of converting existing percussion Colt revolvers to fire center contained metallic cartridges. These Richardson conversions and the later Richards-Mason versions allowed thousands of Civil War era Colts to be upgraded rather than discarded. It was a smart, practical bridge between the percussion era and the modern cartridge era. Taken together, these two events remind us of a consistent American pattern. Invent something revolutionary, then continuously improve it so that free citizens can keep pace with the technology of their time. That principle still matters today. If only the military and law enforcement had been allowed to own the new repeating revolvers of the 19th century, ordinary citizens would have been left behind. And that is not true freedom. There are certain specialized weapons that properly belong in military and police hands, but the core right of the people to keep and bear arms cannot be sacrificed in the process. The founders understood that an armed citizenry equipped with the best tools available was the ultimate check on tyranny. From Samuel Colt's first revolving cylinder to cartridge conversions that followed American firearms history is a story of innovation in the hands of free people. That legacy continues every time a law-abiding citizen trains with a modern handgun or rifle. So that's this week's history lesson from Shooter's Corner. Stay safe, stay armed, keep training, and we will see you on the range. All right, cool. Got a minute.
Just one.
I think that's pretty cool. Like, I just had that epiphany as I was reading that. I was like, man, that's like revolutionary, much like the Model T and Henry Ford. Thanks for the thumbs up, Cindy.
You're welcome.
Only radio.
God, how cool would you have been back in the day to be driving around a Model T with a peacemaker on your hip? You're just carrying...
No, a couple. Gotta have one on each side.
Yeah, that's true.
My brother has a couple Model Ts, and I really want one of them. I think they're really cool. He rides in the parades all the time with.
He does, actually.
He does.
I think they sound cool when they're riding down the road.
Yeah.
Not as cool as a Blackwing, but they sound cool.
They do sound cool. Both sound cool.
All right. So, we got to go into our first break, ladies and gentlemen. When we come back, we have our editorial and hopefully... Oh, and we have an update from Y-Heck as well, which will be super cool because they're down in Arkansas doing the NRA Y-Heck competition. So,
pretty far.
We'll be right back after this break with Chuck, Cindy, and Matt running the board. 97.5 FM, 660 AM. We'll be right back.
Are you driving high right now? You might be, because a whole lot of people do. They say marijuana makes them a better driver, more careful, more focused. That's probably what the guy who killed a 4-year-old thought. And now, he's in prison. You see, no matter what you tell yourself, if you feel different, you drive different. So if you're high, just don't drive. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound. Lori Prox of KVAK Radio in Valdez here, and it's time to talk pink salmon. The Valdez Harbor was not only busy with anglers coming into port with halibut, lingcod, and rockfish, anglers fishing at Allison Point are finally bringing in catches of bright pink salmon. The pink salmon fishing from Allison Point should be productive for the next several weeks and available for the Kids Pink Salmon Derby this Saturday, July 25th. Fish cutter Josh Duong said he filleted 50 pink salmon in a few hours on Thursday, and he's heard the hot spots for silver salmon are Goose Island and Bly Reef. Yeah, they're catching silvers out there. The Valdez Silver Salmon Derby will start this Saturday through September 6th. That Silver Derby features a daily first and second place prize, as well as a $10,000 grand prize for the largest silver salmon. The cost of a daily derby ticket is $10. A season ticket is $50. The Valdez Kids Pink Salmon Derby is just a one-day derby. It's Saturday, July 25th, and it's free for kids age 5 to 16. Visit ValdezFishDerbies.com to get all the details. Here's the basic rundown. Kids will go get a fish derby hat for free at the Valdez weigh-in station on Saturday, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Then catch a pink salmon, take a picture with a pink salmon, one child, and a hat, and enter it at ValdezFishDerbies.com for a chance to win cash and other prizes.
Call Fish Central and get out on the water to catch fish and fill your freezer this summer. Fish Central can hook you up with charter reservations or a rental boat and give you the advice you need to navigate the local waters. Once you've caught your limit, Fish Central can process your fish too. Book with Fish Central and get 10% off your processing. Visit fishcentral.net or call 907-835-5002 to book your fishing adventure today.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
If silver salmon fishing in Valdez is in your plans, stop into Frontier Outfitters before you get on the road for all the fishing gear, licenses, and tags you'll need. From rods to reels, from lures to lines, and nets to sunglasses, Frontier Outfitters knows what you need for a successful trip. Why waste your valuable fishing time looking for gear in Valdez when it's at Frontier Outfitters today? Plus, marine parts and equipment downstairs at Century Hardware. Make Frontier Outfitters your first stop. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
It's that time of year again. The sun is out, roads are clear, and gravel is everywhere. At Auto Trim Design, we have you covered. With our self-healing paint protection film, keeping your paint looking showroom new and defending from rock chips and scratches, helping your car stay flawless for years. With our ceramic window tint, not only will it add a stylish look, it also provides protection from harmful UV rays, reduces glare, blocks heat, and increases privacy. From exterior protection to interior comfort, Auto Trim Design has you covered. Stop by or give us a call to get your vehicle ready for summer in Alaska.
KFAR weather.
Rain showers likely this afternoon. Otherwise, overcast skies. Highs level off around 57. Southwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy tonight. Rain showers likely. Lows level off around 46. Chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 62. Cloudy skies expected. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
All right, welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck, Matt, and Cindy. Probably the most important thing. Can you hear me, Cindy?
I can. No.
What
I
are
can't.
You doing over there?
I can't hear
We can't
you.
Give her electronic items. At least she's not over there tapping her phone iPad or doing kid. Something like that.
Coco melon.
You guys missed all the little racket back here, didn't you?
Right.
Our listeners missed it.
The candy wrapper's opening in the back.
Yeah. Yeah, or smacking her gum or something like that. Okay. Hey, so real quick. I texted Melody Taylor this morning, asked her how or give us an update so we can share that with the listeners out there on the Team Alaska for Y-Het competition down in Arkansas. And let's see what she texted back. We have done shotgun 22, safety trail, wildlife ID. I wonder how they did on turtles. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, the Arkansas turtles.
Pistol, archery, and the responsibility exam. Noah got a 300 in safety trail, which was a perfect score. And some high scores were seen at archery and pistol, but we haven't been given the exact scores to most. Overall, we're just having a blast. It's really hot, though.
Really hot and really, really cold
hot. It's Arkansas. Welcome to that. Welcome to the September weather up here. It's like moose season here right now. But go to the Facebook page. Melody's posting all the information on there at the Alaska Youth Hunter Education Challenge, Fairbanks, Alaska, on Facebook. And you can see the photos that she's posted on there and everything else like that. And Matt actually enjoyed going out there. And tell us a little bit about that, Matt. You helped him out with their land navigation.
Yep. Yeah. As well. We went out to Creamer's Field.
Or orienteering.
Orienteering. Well, I turned it into land nav. But yeah, going over map, compass, use protractors, how to plot points, how to intersect, re-intersect, figuring out your distance, pace count, pretty much everything that everyone does in the Army. But since they had that that portion of the competition, we went over that. And then the following week, we went back out and we went practical. A few of them didn't bring their maps, but they had their phones because they are allowed to use that down there. And they don't use GPS up here. So we were showing them how to use the GPS programs. And then I went and actually walked out about a mile and a half and set up a few points for them to find. And they all did really well. So it's really cool. These kids are obviously young, but they're able to absorb so much information and apply it almost immediately. It's insane to watch and see how well, just over the period of two classes in 2 weeks, how much they grew and how much they were able to learn and improve. So it's really awesome.
Right. When they're younger like that, they have more neuroplasticity than old people.
Yeah.
We're not old. We're maturing.
Yeah, true.
But we don't utilize our brain like we should.
In what way?
As our brain. A lot of ways. You can teach a kid at a young age five languages. It's just taking the time and teaching them.
Yeah.
You can look at all the handguns we can teach them how to use.
True.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. We have a phone call?
Yes.
Yes, we do.
Take it. He's been on hold 10 minutes.
We'll see who it is.
Yeah, I applaud you, Matt. I did that for about 4 years, helping them with the orienteering and compass. So I really think that you stepped up and took it. I had some conflicts on, we have a homestead down in Chitna, so I was doing that. But I applaud you for doing that. And we here, too, at Sportsman's, we supported Noah, too, and helped, giving him a pretty good discount on his supplies that he needed to get prepared for YHAC.
Oh, that's great. I mean, these kids these kids definitely deserve it. They're in a good program, staying safe. They're doing a lot of amazing stuff. So that's awesome.
I think it is.
The craziest thing doing the
who is this?
Tom Kennedy.
We missed your introduction there, Tom. I'm just being a little bit of facetious there. But.
You're fine. And what I was saying is when you're directing that orienteering thing out for YHEC, the parents a lot of times teach the kids the wrong way to do it. And you'll see the parents all frustrated, and the kid will kind of like watch the other kids who are doing it properly for the navigation on the orienteering with the compass. And eventually they figure it out. But the parents will be just storming. They're not doing it right. Well, the parent is doing it wrong. And then it's funny, after it's done, the parent will go out and pace off the spots and say, well, I was wrong. Like, yep.
Maybe we need to have two separate classes, children and adults.
Anyway, you guys are awesome. And it was really nice meeting you guys yesterday. And
it was nice meeting you, too.
We talked a lot about the saga of SIG and how SIG is kind of letting the 320 die. And they're going to go to the 211, you know, the, how would you say?
It's like their version of the 2011.
2011s. Yeah, they're going to the 2011s, and then they're going to a 385, which is a 365 grown up. So they're just letting the 320 die on the vine.
It's a 385 is a 365 that gained 20 pounds.
Yeah.
It's
bigger brother.
It's a fat sister.
Not saying that they're wrong. They're not saying that they're wrong. They're not saying that there's issues. They're just letting it die.
Well, of course they are. Now, do we know if the 385 has any manufacturing issues?
it's based on the 365, so you have to still check those sears to make sure that they're...
Yeah, the triggering system.
Yeah, just look through everything to make sure that, you know, and just operate them, but yeah. And I'm out here for folks listening to really give Chuck and Cindy and Matt a 100% attaboy of, if you don't feel comfortable with guns, get some training. You know, in my position part-time at Sportsman's, I probably get flagged 25 to 50 times a day by people who just do not understand basic handgun operation. So you guys do a fantastic job. Everybody that goes through your program, they do use the proper etiquette around guns. They do follow the proper safety procedures. So I really thank you guys for doing what you do.
Tom, do me a favor. Tell me a little bit more about the that Smith & Wesson that you showed me the other day. It's kind of like a little miniature 1911 thing.
Oh, the CSX.
Look that up, Matt. Like, it was real quick, Tom. Like, this thing was actually interesting. It literally looks like a little, like, 1911. It's hammer-fired instead of striker, and it has an external safety like the 1911 and stuff. Weirdest trigger I've ever seen in my life.
It does. If it had a regular 1911 style, like an 80s series 1911 style trigger, it would be the best seller that Smith & Wesson had.
You know what, though? They did try to make it like, designed it like a 1911 style trigger, though.
It is.
It's like solid. Like, they tried to make it that way, but it still has that, like,
it looks
trigger
like a,
safety on it, you know.
Yeah.
Like
a Glock 1911 and an MP9 had a baby.
Yeah. Like an ugly, like an ugly baby.
A 1911 MP9.
Yeah.
At the same time, it's the child. Little gun you ever saw that has 18 round mag. I mean, it really is dinky, and it has 18 rounds of 9mm.
Yeah, it's like a, it came out like a breech birth baby. But it's fugly. But the trigger on it was actually really nice. It was crisp. Like, I would like to actually take one of those out and shoot it just to kind of see.
They had problems with the first one. The first ones came out, they had problems with the triggers, so they...
Imagine that.
Did it go off by itself?
It wasn't uncommanded. It wasn't an uncommanded problem.
Not a SIG.
Right there, and that wasn't right there. Anyway, I'm calling in we have it's not our scheduling, but it's during the Golden Days. But on Saturday, on the 25th, at 9 o'clock, we have our balloon pop, which is the best deal of the year. We get along with everybody in town. We sell ammo to a Diamond Spear. We sell ammo to a lot of the other local places. But the first 300 people that are there are guaranteed a 15% discount. And then if you're military or law enforcement, you get your additional military discount on top of that. And we got 6 trucks of supplies that came in. So we have everything from reloading powder, which is a real honest-to-God miracle, to a really good selection of guns and fishing stuff and everything else, a lot of it on super clearance that is going to go out on the sale. So I don't generally shill the store for sales, but for folks that are having a hard time with $5 a gallon gas, this is one time where you can get a lot of products cheap. And we work with all the other local sporting goods stores. I think that's what's nice about Fairbanks is we work with everybody. But if you're looking to try to get your hunting stuff on a discount, there'll be 2 100% discounts. That means if you have up to $10,000 worth of stuff, it's free. You fill out a W-9, but it's free for you. So pretty good deal. I know it conflicts with what I would do is I would go to the pancake feed, run over here, get your balloon, and then come back after the parade.
No. You run over the pancake feed, run there, and then run out to the range.
No, after the pancake feed, you don't run anywhere.
Yeah.
You kind of slothily
get on your
move.
Mobility scooter.
Yeah, you get on your mobility scooter.
Oh, Tom, before I forget to tell you, it was a pleasure meeting you yesterday, but yep. I'm really sad at Sportsman's. Their selection on women's clothes has really gone downhill.
It has. And we have sent in a number of things. We had the actual vice president of Area Clothing come in and basically look at all the women clothing that we need, and we will have a complete selection of Western Area, all their boots, all their new stuff, all that's coming in.
Tom, right, Tom, I apologize, commercial. But we got to go into our mandatory break. So, hey, everybody, stay tuned here.
Have a great day.
You too, Tom. Thank you for calling in. Hey, we got to go into our mandatory break here at Shooter's Corner. We'll be right back after this break.
KFAR, streaming live 24/7 at KFARradio.com. Thanks to the Tanana Earth Company.
I'm John Saucier. The federal government is funded until the end of September. The House has already passed a stopgap measure that would give funding until early December. White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt says President Trump supports this funding bill.
This president and this White House wants the government to remain open, unlike the Democrats in this town who have been acting as obstructionists.
New York Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez speaking about the House of Representatives passing a war powers resolution to try and stop the war against Iran. She says the measure is a clear message to lawmakers on both sides.
This is a message that of both the depravity and wrongheadedness of going into Iran, upending the global economy, and also a complete lack of focus on the needs of working class America.
Four Republicans broke ranks to vote with Democrats in support of this resolution, which can be vetoed by the president. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Anchorage Daily News reports a person clearing out the Juneau home of a recently deceased family member discovered human remains in a freezer, police said. The Juneau Police Department responded to a report of possible remains found on a property along the Glacier Highway in the Lemon Creek area Sunday night, the department said in a statement Tuesday. The person who called police advised officers that they had been cleaning out the residence after a family member's death when they located what appeared to be human remains inside a chest freezer in a locked outbuilding on the property. Investigators believe the remains may be those of an adult male family member, police said. The length of the time the remains have been in the freezer is unknown. Investigators have determined that no missing persons report related to the deceased was ever filed with the Juneau Police Department. The state medical examiner office will make an official identification and also determine the cause and manner of death. Police said there is no known threat to the public at this stage of their investigation, which remains active and ongoing.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Hey Fairbanks, Bryant from Auto Trim Design. Now's the perfect time to get your work truck set up right. From toppers, back racks, beacons, running board seat covers, floor liners, bed slides, ladder racks, and so much more. Auto Trim Design has everything you need to tackle any job. Our commercial toppers keep your equipment and tools secure and out of the elements. Need to keep your bed organized? Add a deck drawer system to easily access all your gear. Contact Auto Trim Design for your professional truck grade accessories today.
Customized by Auto Trim.
Whether you're flying or boating into your favorite fishing hole or just driving to the lake, make Frontier Outfitters your first stop for all the fishing gear, licenses, permits, and stamps you'll need. Frontier's extensive fishing department has the conventional, fly, or saltwater tackle for every game fish in Alaska's streams, rivers, lakes, and ocean habitats. Rods and reels, lures and natural bait, lines and nets, dip netting supplies, even sunglasses. Frontier Outfitters has what you need for your successful trip, plus marine parts and equipment downstairs at Century Hardware. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
All right, welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck and Cindy and Matt at Shooter's Corner here in Fairbanks. Remember, you can always listen to us at 97.5, 660 AM, and you can live stream us as well at KFARradio.com. Just click on that big orange ball that says Listen Live. Plus, there is a live app on Apple and on Android to where you can just click on those and just listen to the show anyways. Regardless of where you are. So if you're sitting in the middle of nowhere, BFE Alaska with your Starlink, then you can like dial in and listen to us every Thursday at 11 o'clock. So it's pretty cool. If you've missed any part of this show or any of the shows in the past, because we always have great content. As a matter of fact, there's one that's listed on there as the best show ever.
We have the best content.
The best content.
The best content in Alaska.
Yeah, it's super. But anyways, what?
Do you guys say you have the best?
Well, yes, because we are.
Oh, okay.
Cindy, what are you doing, Cindy?
My mic, I pushed it away during the commercial time.
Don't push mic. Anywho, our archives are on the KFARradio.com website as well. Just click on Shooter's Corner with Chuck Indereed and scroll down past our bio, and you'll see all of our past shows. You can click on those and listen to them wherever and download them if you'd like to. So, super cool. But nonetheless, what we would like to do now is I want to go into my short editorial because I want to talk about two of the most important fundamentals of marksmanship and then also how that is applicable today. You know, I was kind of like looking around and thinking like, what can I talk about this week? And so I know I've been dealing pretty hard with the whole politics of the country and, you know, Matt and I kind of joke about how we're, and even Cindy at times when we're home, how we're politically homeless, which I think is an awesome term.
I love it.
Picked it up from the Joe Rogan show. I was like, yep, that's me.
Yep.
Like, just don't seem to fit in anywhere with the way these major, like, political parties are going. Like, it's just upsetting, but nonetheless. So this week, I kind of want to step away from history just for a minute and talk about the two most important fundamentals of marksmanship, which are, Cindy?
I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
You're over there surfing freaking pictures.
Cindy, the answer is looking cool and being cool.
That's it. That's the two most important fundamentals.
Yep.
Because if you look good, you are good.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. It's like, that's why we just keep painting boats.
Comes with your aura, you know?
Okay.
No, they're actually trigger control and aiming.
Ah.
Yeah.
Because your position can be screwed up, your grip can be screwed up on your initial shot, and then everything else after that's going to be like crap.
Yeah.
But at least the initial shot. And that's why I always tell students in our ACHP classes, that's why Annie Oakley was able to shoot a rifle over her shoulder with a mirror. All she was doing was aligning the sights, pressing the trigger without disturbing the sight alignment. It wasn't witchcraft.
Yeah.
Like, she may have looked like a witch, but
she'd have done it 100 years earlier. It would have been a witch.
And then they would have set her on fire.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, we can go down so many rabbit holes so quick.
You guys do go down some rabbit holes. I'm like, I'm trying to keep up with you.
And I would be surprised like, if Cindy surfing? Comes back next week.
Cindy's head's over there spinning like she's on The Exorcist or something because the way we talk so quick and like just transition so fast. But look, bottom line is everything else in shooting is secondary. Gear, optics, caliber debates, and even physical fitness all matter far less if you cannot press the trigger cleanly and put the sights where they need to be. Aiming is a process of aligning the sights with the target and maintaining that alignment. It requires focus, consistency, and the discipline to accept a sight picture that is good enough. You know, even Jeff Cooper even talked about that. Mm-hmm. The flash sight picture. Like, is that an acceptable sight picture? Yes, it is. Press the trigger. You know, It's like combat shooting, if you will. Rather than chasing perfection while the gun sits motionless, because it's not going to happen. The only way you can get that sight to be motionless without any drift or movement is to put that gun in a vise. Just remove the human. Trigger control, on the other hand, is a deliberate uninterrupted press of the trigger straight to the rear without disturbing that sight alignment. Remember, sight alignment consists, or aiming consists of two things, which is sight alignment and sight picture. So most missed shots are not caused by a bad stance or a poor grip, at least that initial shot, I should say, with the poor grip. They are caused by the shooter moving the muzzle while finishing the trigger press, which to most people is a trigger jerk. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they're probably inducing a little bit of pre-ignition push, trying to like keep the sights down because they're anticipating the recoil, right? And that's why they shoot low, and then they're like, oh, I'm shooting low, and then they add Kentucky windage in it, basically compensating for their poor trigger press.
Yep.
But majority of our students that go in and haven't shot in a long time, and they go qualify, their first shot is right on target. The second shot is another story. But the first one's usually right on.
Well, that's because the brain makes the connection between that small controlled explosion going off in front of their face.
Yeah.
You know, and we've talked about that in the past as well, especially with DV victims, women who have, or men who have been punched in the head. Mm-hmm. Because that slide coming back reminds their brain of that trauma, and therefore they like instantly try to react to it. It's an interesting dynamic for sure. These two skills are simple to describe and difficult to master. They demand deliberate practice. So dry fire or dry practice, you pick your vernacular, is the most efficient way to improve them. Live fire confirms them. Remember, dry fire is the way to improve that. Live fire confirms it. There's no substitute for consistent, focused repetition. Now, why does that matter beyond the range? You thought I wasn't going to get political. I can't help myself. An armed citizen who cannot shoot accurately is only partially prepared. The right to keep and bear arms is not merely the right to own a firearm. It is a right to possess and develop the competence to use it effectively in defense of self, family, and community. History shows that free societies endure when ordinary citizens remain both armed and skilled. When competence declines, the practical value of the right declines with it. What do you think of that? I think it's true.
Yeah.
Like, if you can't accurately and consistently shoot your firearm, then I don't know. Why have the Second Amendment?
Yeah, and I think the constant yearning for wanting to be better has to be within you. It has to be coded into you, built into you, whatever the case is. Because if you think you're the best, we keep talking about this. If you think you're the best and you don't want to go out and get training and you think you have the peak evolution of a shooter, like, you are so wrong. Why would you not want to get better?
But that's part of our American spirit, is always to be better.
It is to be better.
Which has been now transgressed into this idea that if you want to be better than everybody else in the world, it is some type of, like, fascist theory.
Fascist, like, you're considered
or you're a
narcissist.
Nationalist. Yeah. Or something other than being patriotic.
Yes.
It's in love 4, of country.
Well,
like,
coming to a point, you can't say you're patriotic anymore.
Yeah,
it's
insane.
It's just a lot of buzzwords people throw around. Mm-hmm. They heard it used once, and they're like, this is what you are. It's like, no, I want to be the best. Why is that? Why am I a psycho for wanting to own a firearm when constitutionally it's been okay for hundreds of years, and now the last 30, we got real issues.
250 years.
Like, why is it an issue? And you're a psychopath. You think you're better than everyone? You're a narcissist. No, I don't think I'm better than everyone. I want to learn. Why? But no one can see that. They don't read between any lines or even the lines that aren't there. They just think they know everything.
There is a persistent political current in this country that favors greater centralization of power and greater dependence on the state. Systems built on that philosophy have consistently treated private firearms ownership as a problem to be managed or eliminated. An armed and trained citizenry is a structural check against that tendency. That is not a partisan observation. It is a historical pattern. So when we talk about trigger control and aiming, we're not just talking about punching paper. We're talking about maintaining the practical ability to make that makes the Second Amendment meaningful. Ownership without competence is incomplete. Competence without the right to own is impossible. Train the fundamentals, ladies and gentlemen. Keep the skills sharp. Understand why they matter. So this is Chuck Indery, and along with the rest of this Shooter's Corner and C4 Training Group training team, you have to stay vigilant, stay prepared, and stay free. Man, I got to tell you, I can't help myself but go deep on those things because, like, you can call me whatever you want, but I consider myself to be a patriot.
It's hard not to go deep into it.
Exactly, man.
Everything we have is rooted in patriotism, history.
You would think, but they don't teach that.
Like, how many houses?
Unless you're in a, like a private, maybe a parochial school or, you know.
But look how many houses we drove or rode. I ride my bike all over the place that did not have flags out in their yard for 4th of July, 250th anniversary. What an honor to be alive and to celebrate that. It was really sad. Not like in the days, you know, back in the days, you had everybody had barbecues and out there decorating their yards and their home. It's like, what's happening?
Well, I can tell you what's happening. Look at since 2008, we've just been split and splitting and splitting and more and more. There's no cohesion.
And that's what our government wants.
Because divisiveness means that we cannot rise up.
Yep.
As long as the government, mass media, and the political establishment can keep the American people fighting against each other, then they can never organize.
Look over there, not at us.
Yep. Exactly. Wow. Whew. We went way deep on that one.
Oh, we can get deeper.
But we won't.
This is not the Joe Rogan podcast.
No, we're not sitting in the studio smoking blunts and...
John Caracal's coming in talking about the CIA for 2.5 hours.
Yeah, we're not going to do that. Don't even mention that because now our whole thing just got flagged.
Oh, we talked about divisiveness.
Again,
we were immediately, our name is Shooter's Corner. Someone's watching us.
But yeah, I mean, I think it's incredibly important that we continue to train. I mean, even all the way back to Samuel Colt inventing all of these things. Like, it was just part of that American spirit anyways, you know? And whether I get it. We joke about SIG and stuff like that, a foreign firearms company. Mm-hmm. But still, I mean, that whole idea of making things better or creating things to make the American spirit shine and be better throughout the world is part of our heritage, if you will. It's what I was raised on.
Yep.
In a small little town of 360 people in Idaho.
A dry town, too.
And then I met, it was Quakers. And then I met Cindy, and she, like, totally turned my world upside down.
Don't blame all that.
In a good way. Hey, stay tuned. We got another 15-minute segment here, or maybe actually 8 minutes. But nonetheless, we have another segment coming up here on Shooter's Corner. So stay tuned with us at 97.5, 660 AM. We'll be right back.
So, you want to go so far up the river you need an airboat? Well, that's just scary, and it's why you need Rogers Auto Repair. Hey, make sure everything works perfectly before you leave. I mean, everything works, right? Rogers Auto knows airboat and inboard maintenance. They use and maintain both for decades, using ultralight plywood so your airboat repairs are light as a feather. Before you disappear up your favorite skinny little excuse for a river, call Rogers Auto Repair. Call 479-6665.
Summer in Alaska is calling. Is your ride ready? From camping trips and fishing weekends to road trips, ATVs, boats, and side-by-sides, summer fun starts with a vehicle that works and plays as hard as you do. At Auto Trim Design in Fairbanks, they help you gear up with accessories and upgrades that make every adventure better. From truck accessories and window tint to remote starters, audio, and more. This summer, take the scenic route, hit the trails, and enjoy every mile, knowing your ride was customized by Auto Trim Design.
KFAR weather.
Showers likely this afternoon, otherwise overcast skies. High temperatures reach up to 57. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Rain showers likely tonight. Lows level off around 46. Cloudy skies expected. Chance for scattered showers tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 62. Overcast. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
All right, welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck and Cindy and the Matster running the board for us here at Shooter's Corner here in the great city of Fairbanks, where it's still a balmy, I don't know, what are we running here, Matt?
I think it's 52.
53 degrees, yeah. Bro. Rain for the next hour. Oh, 52 degrees and rain for the next hour.
Oh, mine's showing rain until tomorrow.
Yeah. which is great. And Saturday is supposed to be sunny, so come out and shoot with us at the range.
Just put your rain gear on and you still can shoot because hey, somebody breaks in your home. They don't care if it's raining or negative 40.
There you go. That's actually a valid point, Cindy.
It is valid.
Yeah.
I also hope
crime doesn't stop because of weather.
Yeah. Nope.
So, anyways, if it ain't raining, you ain't training.
Oh, you're to it.
Don't say that.
No, that's what they used to say in the Army all the time, in the infantry. And you know what? After I retired from 24 years of doing that, I was like, I don't like getting wet anymore.
No. I don't mind it, though, because I can wear the proper stuff, right? Before, it's like, right. Here's your, you know, dollar bin Equic system. Good luck. And then you don't have the boots. Your pants are two sizes too small. Your top's three sizes too big. And
all right, I'm going to really date myself here because when I joined in 1982.
You're 18. Well,
thank you.
You're welcome.
But we were issued, I swear to God, it was like the Korean War stuff.
It probably was.
It literally was the old OD green parka with like, I don't know, maybe it was like a cotton liner or something.
My poncho and my wet weather jacket both had manufacturing dates of 2004.
Dude, I'm way before you on that.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, they don't care.
That was 3 years before I retired. You were getting like the Ickwick system. Like, we were getting the old stuff. Like, and when we go to the field, we were wearing just regular leather boots with the green over shoes. Nah. Like, that was your wet weather / cold weather. If it got too cold, then you put on a Mickey Mouse boot. Your gloves were a black leather glove with a green freaking wool liner.
That didn't change.
That didn't change? No. That's still the same? Yeah. Like, okay.
They just have an excess. They don't want to invest in more.
The pile cap was probably the best invention ever. Like, I still have a couple of the old pile cap, the old green wool pile caps. Ooh. Those are pretty, pretty freaking warm. Like, but.
And your first sergeant told you the military didn't issue you a wife.
Yeah, that was when we first got to Fort Riley, Kansas in 1983.
He wasn't a nice person. He needed a lot of prayers.
Well, but he was an old school Vietnam vet. And
true.
He basically said that the Army didn't issue you a family, so therefore, like, we don't care about it. You're going to stay here and polish the barracks floor in these World War II barracks with Johnson wax and a buffer, which always turned into fun games. Like, have you ever done a buffer rodeo? Like, I know some of my listeners out there are listening to me
How
right now.
How did you
be
used
like,
to clean your guns? I remember hours you guys would stay in between.
We used to take them in the shower with us.
Yep.
Are you serious?
Run hot water in them. Yeah, you spray them down with Brake Free, let it soak in, then you go in there and run hot water through them.
We found Barbasol would clear out any carbon.
Is that the shaving cream?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, we used to use everything. But back to my original story of the buffer rodeo, like, for the listeners out there, you know, a buffer has a handle on it with a squeeze, like, to activate it, like a trigger, I guess. And then you, like, it had a rotating head, and it had a couple horsepower. Like, they were powerful. Like, you could slam the crap out of the walls with them things if you weren't careful or know how to properly operate it. But the fun part is if you sat on the buffer itself and then reached out and then grabbed the handle and then tried to hang on. That was the buffer rodeo.
Yep.
The buffer rodeo. Never
yeah, and you had to get like an 8-second ride. Most of the time, it just spun around in a circle, and eventually the cord would wrap around it and then unplug itself.
Yep.
Like, that was the end of the ride, too. It was difficult to hang on and stay on.
Yeah.
And see, it would totally screw up the floor.
You guys were smarter. You sat on them. We would stand on them.
Oh, no.
And we would then get tied to our legs and just slam into the wall before it finally ripped out.
You guys were like violent.
Yeah, that's what
that's what we do.
That's what you signed up for.
That's what you signed up for. Like, and then you got broken, and then you go to the VA.
Yep.
You didn't tell me you wrote a buffer.
No.
I never knew what a barrack party was. Barrack party.
Barrack's party?
Yeah.
Was cleaning.
Cleaning.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, one of the things that we kind of, we digress. Hey, let's talk about the 30-06 cartridge real quick. The 30-06 Springfield. So, let's see, 120 years after its introduction, the hunters should be very familiar with the 30-06 Springfield. After all, it's still a benchmark hunting cartridge capable of checking an amazing amount of boxes in the big game hunting world. I have a 30-06 rifle. I think that was one of the first rifles that I owned was the 30-06. It actually was born as a military cartridge, essentially designed to replace the outdated 30-40 Krag. So unlike most military cartridges, it would go on to shine in the hunting fields. Whether in the United States, Canada, Europe, Africa, Australia, 30-06 is universally known among hunters and has a great reputation among the professional hunters as well. So I think what was interesting is a 30-06. So its original designation was cartridge, ball, caliber, 30, model of 1906. Hmm. Is the official designation. But to the hunting world, it is known as a 30-06 or OT-6. It was a third version of the U.S. Army's efforts to better the performance of the 30-40 Krag. Coming after the 30-01, the rimless cartridge, first developed and subsequently the 30-03 Springfield, and the earlier iterations used the 220-grain round-nose bullet common to the 30-40 Krag. Yet when the revisions were made to arrive in the model of the OT-6, or the 1906, I should say, the bullet weight dropped to 150 grains in a Spitzer configuration with a velocity boosted to 2,700 feet per second. So now we're in the center fire kind of realm, and they're getting more velocity out of these things. But here's what's cool is the OT-6 can go from 110 grains all the way up to a massive 250 grains.
Yeah.
So it does have a lot of diversity.
You're getting punched in the chest with a Polar Express. That is heavy.
Dude, you're a poet and don't even know it. You're like a Dr. Seuss.
That was a one-off. Don't expect it ever again for me.
Yeah. You're just able to rattle that off.
Yeah.
So suitable for hunting, whether it's in, well, Africa or the United States, but save for the true African heavyweights. Like, even though people have hunted an elephant with an OT-6, like, not really probably the most responsible cartridge to use on an elephant.
They have dedicated elephant guns.
They do have dedicated elephant guns. But nonetheless, even Dr. J.Y. Jones and Fitz come quickly to mind as writers of Hemingway, Rourke, Roosevelt. Many more have sung praises of the OT-6. Many famous hunting books in the hunting world. The 30 caliber is a good place to be. The OT-6 Springfield remains a benchmark among the 30 caliber cartridges. I thought that was pretty cool. So that actually came from the NRA. AmericanHunter.org, just so you guys know. I didn't make that up.
I always see the 30-06. I mean, it's such a relevant round to this day.
It is.
But anytime a new round comes out, it gets compared to two things, the 308 and then 30-06. How is it comparing ballistically, muzzle velocity? Like, what is it exactly doing? But there's a reason. It's a staple.
Well, that's kind of led to the 280 Remington,
mm-hmm.
right? Which was a 30-06 Wildcat, where they mated the 7mm bullets, made famous by the 7x57 Mauser. The Remington championed the idea, and in 1957 released the 280 Remington. And if history ever gave a cartridge a shaft, it gave it to the 280 Remington. One, there was no lack of firearms. There were no issues with the cartridge to the target board or the game field. It just seems that the 32-year head start enjoyed by the 270 Winchester shoved the younger cartridge off the stage. So, although the 280 Remington was actually a pretty decent cartridge, 270, which I've heard of a lot. I had a lot of friends in Idaho that always were hunting with a 270. Very flat shooting trajectory. I mean, 150 grain, round nose, 160s. Like, it was just a pretty decent. And so even O'Connor and Elmer Keith, who we've talked about in the past, mm-hmm. Elmer Keith, may have argued about the effectiveness of the 270 on elk, moose, and larger game. Today's projectiles have settled that argument. 270 remains the most successful offspring of the Springfield family, and that's not going to change anytime soon. So, well, that was interesting. Also, other Wildcats that came off that same cartridge was the 0.25-06 Remington, the 25-06. That's pretty cool. The 35 Whelen spawned off of the idea of the OT-6 as well. So Colonel Townsend Whelen, who was the inventor or the father of the 35 Whelen, the OT-6 case necked up to hold 0.358-inch diameter bullets. So that's pretty neat. What do you got, Cindy? Tell me about purses.
You're just throwing me under the bus, aren't you?
Hey, so here's the deal. Next week, Cindy's going to do a presentation on concealed carry for ladies. And I think that's pretty cool. That's a topic we do need to talk about. Are you texting your pickleball fans?
No.
Are you all like Does somebody have a video of your ATP? If it wasn't on video, it didn't happen, Cindy.
No, Chuck. No.
No, I'm just
kidding. About golf. I'm sorry. I do golf, my too. God.
It's like squirrel in here for her.
No,
squirrel.
No, and then I was pulling my notes up for the purses. Because
Lena Michlick came up with, Matt, go ahead, take
this was
summer.
Supposed to be next week's.
But we're going to give a lead-in for it. We want to get the fans, our fans, excited to listen to next week, Cindy.
You're going to a prelude,
if you will, of the excellent presentation that you're going to give next week on Carrie. What was that, Matt?
So I was wrong about when we were talking about this earlier, I was wrong. It's not Everly Stock. It's Vertix. Or Vertix, worked with Lena Michalik and came up with, it's called the Everyday Fanny Pack. They have the 1.0 and 2.0, but it's a really interesting design and a kind of a redo of the fanny pack. It looks like a normal fanny pack, a bunch of different colors, all that. But you have two internal pockets, the one, the normal fanny, but then behind that, you have a large mouth that you can grab hold of both zippers and essentially yank it open. It's got soft side Velcro on the inside, and you can take a normal holster with belt clips and weave it through one of their pre-made pads, or you can apply hard side Velcro to the underside of your holster. But you can draw the pistol out without all your stuff falling onto the ground. You can open it quick enough, but you don't have to have a dedicated holster or, you know, depending on your size and shape.
I saw that on our vacation trip, and that's what brought up about the research of the different handguns that we were talking about. But yes.
Cindy's going to talk about that next week. She's going to actually try one out this weekend.
Yes.
And we'll be back next week at Shooter's Corner here at 97.5 FM, 660 AM. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you missed any part of it, I'm talking fast because I need to hurry up. Get onto the archives, listen to the show. We had a great episode today. Have a great weekend. Be safe.
You've been listening to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, brought to you by Price RV.